Hi, and welcome to everybody. There are 37 of us here so far this evening, and let's just have a little alignment before I get into some of these readings about the problem with hatred, which is, as I said before, there was a problem in World War I. The hatred was extreme, and DK said at one point, even in World War II, it wasn't as bad. And but now we have this kind of thing. Really, it's very Plutonic in a way. It's under the law of repulse, but negatively understood as far as that law goes. And it's sweeping through the nations as the different cultures seem to be abrasively rubbing, we might say, upon each other with lack of understanding and with the sense of great threats. I've heard the old saying long ago that man hates what he fears. And I think deep down, even though some of the groups have a pretense towards extreme rectitude, that they actually do fear the different groups against whom, against which they direct the hatred. So it leads to a very divided situation in the world, and of course, in the United States, there's a great focal point there. But still, it's spread all over the world, and we have an extreme problem. So maybe subjectively, there's something we can do to contribute to the amelioration of this law of repulse used in a negative sense and not as an aspect of the law of love, which DK tells us about in Esoteric Psychology 2, where he goes over the laws of the soul. The law of repulse is actually an aspect of the law of love and serves the greater cosmic law of attraction. But the way repulsion is being used now, it just simply leads to something that's even a greater glamour, and maybe the one true heresy, the great heresy of separateness or separativeness. So here we are, and let us somehow breathe the soul presence into our consciousness. And reach out towards each other, not so much as personalities, but at least as soul-infused personalities, no matter where we may be found geographically and materially. We're really, all of us, units of consciousness, units of being consciousness. And we're all parts of each other, really, essentially. If we could only understand that and even feel that. But here we are as a group, uniting in a piece of service that will help bring clarity to the astral plane, which on our planet and even in the solar system is the most powerful plane, being undivided. And therefore, given the stage of development of our planetary logos, is the plane which is most troublesome to the efforts of the average aspirant or disciple. Such as it would be wise to consider ourselves, lest we again become separative. So we tune in on each other. Join each other in unity and have our firm and fixed intention to serve the soul of humanity and to serve the hierarchy, which in a way is the soul of humanity, to serve in the necessary eradication of the great glamour of hatred, as DK refers to it. And we'll see that particular passage where he's talking about some very good things that lie ahead for us as we overcome such a glamour. So together let us sound a unifying Om. Now the readings, I guess I selected out something that might be like three readings. This is number 45. And no, this is number 44. I'm going back here. Yeah, this is it here. And I'll make this just a little bigger. Okay, so let us think together, and if thoughts come to you for discussion, then make note of them, and they can be either spoken, or you can put them in the question box, the chat box, and between Brett and me, we'll probably see them, so, okay. There are let's see, sometimes I write something in here, so I'll just do that, which will allow me to write if I need to. There are two lines of destruction. Of course, we're in a period when destruction is considerable. It's the Armageddon period, and Pluto and Vulcan are both first-rate planets preceding the first initiation of the individual and of humanity, so... We're in that period, and we've got to view it in the correct way. That which is meted out by human beings with no understanding of the life purposes, who act blindly and ignorantly, prompted by selfish desire, they're still working, you know, pretty much in the hall of ignorance before the pairs of opposites, soul and personality, have become real to them. So with acting blindly and ignorantly, prompted by selfish desire, by love of power, or by hatred. Well, you know, you look at the lower concrete mind, and its development takes place in the third petal of the egoic lotus. It's kind of interesting, you know, Virgo is so connected with the love of Christ and the appearance of the Christ, but also with this kind of separative discrimination which separates person from person and group from group. I've kind of looked at that in the charts of people who have committed really terrible separative crimes, and they're looking for a certain kind of purity which Virgo suggests, and they're really using it all the wrong way. So this love of power is there, and that, of course, exists because of egotism, or egoism is the condition that precedes egotism. In other words, it's a mistaken identification which leads to exalting the lower personal self. So where the lower personal self doesn't really figure prominently in the consciousness of the individual, there can be no hatred, the kind that rebuffs another individual, because it's number one, you know, it's the ego that wants to be exalted and others are feared and therefore hated. There is also that line of destruction which is permitted by the soul in due and right time, and it comes when a new vehicle of expression is demanded by the indwelling life. Well, one of the most popular, it's death in a way, because you can't keep using the same vehicle. The vehicle will have its limitations, and according to the consciousness gained, so will the new vehicle in a new life be. On the other hand, and so we can call this, in a way, we can call this like death and reincarnation. Or the fourth initiation. I mean, they're not equivalent, but there is a kind of a very important second death here, as the personality and causal body are relinquished, and the soul, or the soul or angel, is allowing that. Therefore, there is much destruction permitted by the custodians of the plan. You know, they're found on the atmic plane. They are not yet as high as registrants of the purpose, but still that which comes down from Shambhala is formulated on the atmic plane by these masters, and they're called custodians of the plan, and they supervise its working out. Therefore, there is much destruction permitted by the custodians of the plan, and much evil is turned into good. I recall DK saying that the Black Lodge actually plays a part in the plan of the solar logos, but not so much in the plan of the planetary logos, for whom the Black Lodge is a big obstacle. So much destruction is permitted by the custodians of the plan, and much evil turned into good, because the end is seen from the beginning and the consciousness is ripe enough. Is our consciousness ripe enough? In experience to relinquish the form because of the sense benefits to be gained. Now, that's going to take that's going to take a while, some millions of years. Even then, you know, when entering the hall of wisdom, which involves the seventh, eighth, and ninth petal of the egoic lotus. So you've got to be pretty mature in order to see the advantage of relinquishing the form. And this is also true, he expands it, of individuals, of nations, and races. Let's just say on the higher turns of the spiral, nations generally aren't there yet. They're not initiates of the first degree by and large, and the races are not there yet. But the individual has to set the tone, and as more and more individuals arrive at that perspective, then the nations and the races of which they are a part will also arrive. So sensitivity to world suffering is a great and divine characteristic. You know, it's very Neptunian in a way. It's very Venusian in a way. When, however, it is qualified by emotion, okay, it becomes separative in interpretation. You know, in other words, we are so appalled by the misfortunes of others that we begin to hate those who provide the misfortune. So it becomes separative in interpretation and focused in partisanship and personalities, and thus develops into a glamour, a separative self-justifying factor, and an illusion. Our mind reveals it to be true. It's not, but that's what our poorly interpreting mind reveals, confusing the real issue and blinding men to the divine facts. We might just say that glamour especially, but also illusion, do blind men to the divine facts. So there are really two kinds of destruction, and one is very ignorant, but the other leads to greater and greater progress, consciousness, scope of abilities, and we have to have a certain type of detachment in order to enter that phase of destruction willingly undergone. Now, for this particular paragraph, the finish is not there. This is from Education in the New Age, in the New Age page 112. Here the finish is there. So if you happen to be one of those people for whom it is your sole language, then you can pick up on this as I read along, right? That's possible. Okay. So, going on, these paragraphs, this next one is from Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 63. Clear thinking, you know, it's a kind of a fifth ray Ajna center thing involving the throat center as well. A clear appraisal of causes, you know, the fifth ray helps with that. And an outgoing love to all, that's the second ray. Relating to the solar angel. So, you know, a combination of the second and the fifth rays together is very much what that which distinguishes the solar angel. So think about it, a clear thinking. Okay, I mean, are we swept away by our emotions as we attempt to think about something? And do we know why something arises really? A clear appraisal of causes and a loving outgoing to all, because this is a radiant energy. And when it touches others, you know, it has a good effect. Should not be just held within and say, oh, well, I love, and you don't show it somehow. So this should distinguish all disciples at this time. Where this attitude does not exist, there is ever the danger of absorption into the vortex of hatred. Now that vortex is spinning, and it's utilized by the Black Lodge and the Lords of Form and so forth to produce separation and something that was much more akin to the results of the third ray than to the incoming second ray of our planet and, as far as that goes, of our solar system. So there's ever the danger of absorption into the vortex of hatred and separativeness and the divorcing of the person by this, even if only temporarily, and let's hope it's temporary, you know, I'm sure we've all been swept, and the divorcing of the person from the vortex of love. This is what we have to be swept into even when confronted by some very serious infringements of the law of love. You know, the old saying, I always think of it, and it, you know, it's hard to ponder, hard to understand, but especially when you get all worked up about something, but it's hatred ceaseth not by hatred. So if we're swept into this vortex of hatred, you know, and it almost happens, it seems like the most natural thing in the world, like, well, yeah, you have to hate the forces of evil. You have to hate those who do evil, but you don't really have to. You have to see it clearly and understand its origins and know how to dissipate it and dispel it. So this spells danger and glamour if we do succumb. The very fact that disciples are all so pronouncedly individual, now let's think about ourselves, you know. I don't know how well we think in group terms or how often we do, but we certainly think about what our particular personal motives and objectives may be. So, and we know what we want, and it's often to satisfy our individual craving on the plane of mind, emotions, or etheric physicality. We all have these desires towards certain fulfillments. The very fact that disciples are all so pronouncedly individual intensifies their reactions, good and bad. I think, though, you know, there's nothing wrong with individuality. We all have it. But it's more a state of the soul. And as far as individualism is concerned, there's more separativeness with that as we stand distinct from others and emphasize our distinctness. If you think about Leo, you know, it's one of the signs, it's a wonderful sign, and it can be badly abused. It's the most human of all the signs. And think of these separative possibilities of the rays 1 and 5, which play through Leo. DK says there is a psychopathology connected with the first ray, and I would say aided and abetted by the fifth, which can make an individual, a man, virtually untouchable, as he says. This is in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, where he talks about the various psychopathologies to be overcome. Okay. Now, let's go on to another one. This is a fairly long one, and I wonder what I can do. I probably can't do much to make the finish visible while I'm reading the English, but I try to do this a little bit. Okay, let's see what I've got here. Well, not entirely, but it will be soon. It will be soon. There, some of it is anyway. So, next, as we are dealing with the problem of glamour and illumination, and we might say the glamour always works against true illumination, and as does illusion, it might be of value here if I dealt with the particular glamour which I would ask your group to aid in dispelling. I'm not sure who he's talking to here, but I think maybe he's talking to the people who were organized into the Observers of Reality, the Second Seed group. I refer here to the glamour of separateness. It's so foundational. It's built into the third ray, which is ruled by Saturn, which can be very much a planet which cleaves and separates. And Mars, with its cutting quality, gets into that as well. Those are the two so-called malefic planets. They're not really malefic, of course. They are great gods, you know, one greater than another. But used in the wrong way, they really divide man from man, you know, person from person, and so forth. Work along this line will have most practical and salutary implications for none of you, as you will discover, will be able to work effectively on this matter if you feel any sense of separativeness. Well, you know, just let's analyze what we feel. And here's the question. Have we really, really, really overcome separativeness? I know on a bad day, I certainly haven't. But, you know, there are ways when the heart opens and the whole is seen as one, and we begin to understand that the macrocosmic whole is all there is and that we are everywhere. Harmlessness is the expression of the life of the man who realizes himself to be everywhere. Wow, what a statement, if you really stop to think about that. So anyway, we can't be effective here if we feel any sense of separativeness. This separative reaction may express itself as hatred, as a really powerful repulsion, and actually wanting to eliminate, a very Plutonic thing, destroy, pulverize, negate, remove the one hated. That's the, you know, ultimate in hatred. This separative reaction may express itself as hatred and as an active dislike or a voiced criticism. Perhaps in some cases, all three. So the factor of repulsion is really present in the throat center, ruled by Saturn, in the case of a disciple. He is used to say separative things and to think separative things and basically to make unity impossible. So let's get rid of Steve Bannon down here. Okay. There are forces which you may regard as separativeness, personally regard as separativeness, or as the cause of separation, but, okay, I would remind you that the favorite views and cherished beliefs of those to whom you are mentally opposed, because, you know, if you look at the heads of the Hydra, the scorpionic heads of the mental plane, let's see, well, hate, Let's see, no, hatred is the emotional. Pride, separateness, and cruelty. All right, that's good enough. That'll generate hatred, which manifests more emotionally, we might say. So anyway, I would remind you that your favorite views here, often under the guise of a strenuous adherence to what you regard as right principles, we all have them, don't we? Are to those who hold them equally right. In other words, they feel as right as you do, and they are adhering to their favorite views and cherished beliefs with the same strenuous kind of attachment as you have, as I have. So we have to remember that. You know, their perspective says, I'm righter than you, you know, more right than you. And they're convinced, and we're convinced. And what do you do in a situation like that? Except change your perspective and make it even higher. They are in their place as sincere as you are and as eager for the achievement of the right attitude as you feel yourself to be. So it's a two-way street here. Love and hate, they're both reciprocal. This is something often forgotten, and I would remind you of it. You know, we're always impugning the motives of people that we are convinced really have the wrong end of the stick, you know. We can't understand why they see things as they do, obviously incorrectly, right, as far as we're concerned. But then we have to think about, you know, what their attitude really is and why they feel so justified, you know. Now, here is something, you know, about the Jewish group. This was all written around the time of the war and in its aftermath, and basically he had told us that the Jews and the Germans are so closely related, it's really a family battle. It's not so much now, because some of that has been cured, but again, the Jew, as always, is singled out when things are going wrong, for his culpability, and it's happening again today as the various hate groups are emerging and are more vocal under the sanction of some of our present governmental leadership, inept, I might say, and easily causing separation. So he says here, I might also illustrate this by pointing out to you that the hatred or the dislike, if hatred is too strong a word, that any of you may feel for the activities of the German government, because, you know, look, during that war, and maybe following somewhat, there was active dislike of what the Germans were doing under the guidance of the Black Lodge. So this active dislike, this hatred for the activities of the German government and for the line they have taken against the Jewish people is really a profound existential belief in the corruption of the Jewish people, which was affecting their purity. Okay. Hitler and many around him were around the time of the second initiation in its loveless mode. So anyway, they've taken this against the Jewish people. It might be turned with almost equal justification, he says, almost, against the Jews themselves. The latter have always been separative. Well, you know, the rays are ray 1 and 3. Coming from a previous solar system, those are separative rays. Interestingly, at this time, the rays of China. Although Taurus is in there and Libra, maybe some amelioration can occur. The latter have always been separative and have regarded themselves as, quote, the chosen of the Lord. Well, how much more separative can you get than the others? Then are the rejected of the Lord, and have never proved assimilable in any nation, though DK does point out that assimilation is the way for the Jew, and then the qualities so long cultivated and so excellent and part of the what he calls the spiritual aristocracy of humanity will merge and blend into the next and forthcoming group and really elevate it. Now he says this interesting thing, the same can be said of the Germans, non-assimilable. And for many, they evoke the same reaction as they mete out to the Jew, though not the physical persecution, at least not yet. You know, there's a lot of karma to pay here. Neither attitude, as you well know, is justifiable from the angle of the soul. They are both equally wrong. The soul is love, the soul is light, the soul is unity. Whatever the ray may be, the soul sees the whole, okay? And in the wholeness, we are all included, and there's no room for the cracks, the fissures. There's no room for that. They are both equally wrong, and this is a point of view which the Jew and the anti-Jew must eventually understand, and through understanding, a very Piscean, unitive thing, bring it to an end, bring to an end. I mention this because I'm going to ask you to deal with that ancient and worldwide glamour, the glamour of the hatred of the Jews. So he had plans for his group. And I don't know, did they ever get there? There were problems in the group itself as part of the training, because when you're dealing with the most powerful vehicle, the astral vehicle, it can easily overcome you, and some people wound up in rough shape while they were members of this group or being influenced by members of this group. Okay, so look, so I said, okay, this is about a half hour of work here, and I'm calling this the end of our second reading on the glamour of hatred. It's program number 44. It's taking place today, the 18th of August, and the next is again the third reading on the glamour of hatred. By then, maybe we'll be able to finish this little section. I also want to mention that some of you know that Tuya and I are broadcasting the Ask programs this week. They are being dealt with in the morning. We are attempting to alternate them, but the glamour program continues in the evening. That is 5 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. It's all set up that way, so there's no sense to change it. But the Ask program will change again next week, and it will be in the evening and not in the morning. It will begin on Wednesday with the triangles work. And for those of you who are the Blue Rose sisters, we're looking now at, you know, the Virgin Mary, who is the Mother Earth, and the sign of Virgo and its relation to the third and seventh ray. But it's more influential in this solar system relation to the second and sixth ray. So it's all about the birth of the Christ, and we are working with you, Blue Rose sisters and Shiva brothers, to send you out videos and recordings of small meditations which have us focus on the name of Mary for every day. Very interesting that 24 days exist between the death of Mary, the ascension of the Virgin, interestingly enough, interpreted metaphysically, and the birth a date. And the ascension is in Leo and the birth is in Virgo. Some of you may wish to join us in this effort, and you're certainly most welcome. Write to Tuya, write to me, and we'll see what we can do. Okay. Now, it's time for us to take a look at any thoughts you may have over our readings on the great glamour of hatred. By the way, in the next, there it is, in the next reading that we'll have next August, 1 week from now, 25th of August, He refers to it as the great glamour of hatred. See? And it's a very, very positive paragraph, but illustrating that we have to overcome these things. And, you know, when we think that we're quite finished with hatred, you know, well, under provocation, anything is possible, and old habits rise to the surface. And when Pluto is so strong and cleansing the psyche of humanity before the reappearance of the Christ, well, really before the externalization and then the reappearance, that repulsive quality of Pluto is going to be, you know, strongly manifest, and it is now in a sign Capricorn, which interestingly enough rules the region of hell as well as the much higher regions of supernal light. So Pluto, Hades, you know, in Capricorn with the three-headed dog, Cerberus, we've got some pretty strong energies going on at the moment, and we have to counter that with the fire of goodwill and the fire to love. So Are there any questions?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
There, Carl has his hand up.
Carl's got his hand up, and let's see. Hand is not. Wait a second. I got. Okay, do you read anything from Carl? Because I'm not seeing anything. Wait a second.
No, he has his hand up to talk.
Oh, to talk. Okay, there we go. Okay, thank you for reminding me. All right. Okay, go ahead, Carol. Go ahead.
He still seems muted.
No, he's unmuted on. Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a second. That was Zach. Did I unmute Zach instead of Carl? Let's see, Carl. Come along, come along. Can you unmute him, Brett?
I just did.
Okay,
Hi,
Carl.
Michael.
Hi, Carl. So,
Well, actually,
yeah, go ahead.
sorry I missed the last couple
Yeah.
Glamour sessions. I had other things going on. And
Okay.
actually, I actually had my hand down, I thought.
Okay, well, something happened. Something happened.
rather than up.
Okay.
But I really, at this point, don't have any questions.
Okay, I might have been responsible for that. I thought I saw your hand and it disappeared and I put it right back in there. But I'm glad to,
Okay.
very glad to have you back with us and thank you. You know, you're always one to think of these things in a serious manner. So welcome back. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Now, you bet. Now,
Yeah, we have written comments from
okay.
Isabel Yvonne and Ecclesia.
Okay, so here's Isabel King and oh, and something. Did you work at all with Pura
Yes.
Angulo? Okay, I hope he or she, I'm not sure, recovered from the lack of sound. Okay, so anyway, Isabel, Cosmic Fire page 407 number 4 gives a possible clue as to the exacerbation of the lower mind activity and the need to balance it with soul love. Okay, so let's take a quick look. I wonder if I can find that. Did you say page 407? Okay, let's see if I can get there. Okay, put this down. Word, 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 word. Okay, something's happening here. It shouldn't be word. It shouldn't be word. It should be the Alice Bailey books is what it should be. Okay, so let me see if I can get those. And there we go. Okay, amazing what we can do now when you consider the days of letter writing back and forth. I remember. Took me about 2 weeks to communicate with the South Pacific, and now it's instantaneous. So anyway, Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 407. Okay, and let's see what we got here. And then view hidden. Okay, I think that's what you said. I think you said she said 407, right? Yeah, 407 number 4. Okay,
Yes.
let's see what we got here. Cosmic Fire, and here's 408, and what may be number 4? Number 4. Wait, there's 406, and do you see a number 4 there, Brett?
Fourth
Here's
ether.
the fourth plane. By
Fourth
the
plane.
is that it possibly, or number 4? Does she mean the fourth paragraph? I'm not sure what number 4 means because it's not listed as number 4, but the fourth paragraph is the work of the four Maharajas. You know, they are secondary lords of karma to the Lipika lords. They're the four below the three who apportion karma within the ring pass knot will reach its culminating point during the fourth round. We're in a very karmic round right now. In the next round, the work of the Lipikas, you know, there are three of them who handle affairs in connection with our system. Outside the ring pass knot will become more prominent. So the three and the five will be connected. This is necessarily so as the Lipika lords dispense the law to those who have merged themselves with their divine principle, hopefully that includes us, and no longer held by the material forms of the three worlds. Well, in the fifth.
Michael?
Yes?
Brett? Michael, she says, begin at the consciousness.
Oh,
which I think is the paragraph above.
Okay, this is the third paragraph. I see what it is. Okay, let me finish what I was reading. The lords of karma or the maharajas work with the sons of men in the three worlds through the monastic principle. That's very much Saturn, you know. And without that, we cannot tell what we have done right and what we have done wrong and make the proper choices. Now here, Isabel, the consciousness of the mass of the human family will gradually pass onto the fourth subplane of the mental plane, yes, which is the plane of discrimination, and be more and more controlled by purely concrete mind, without a lot of camomanus, I guess. Unless this is paralleled by a steady influx of egos onto the Buddhic plane and conscious activity, which means the fourth initiation, doesn't it? And thus out of the control of manus pure and simple, a various condition, serious situation will have to be handled by hierarchy. So it's basically what the problem is, that the concrete mind can be made a sphere unto itself, which the Tibetan says is the cause of the reputation of the ill-omened number 13. So it becomes an isolated sphere of thought which can be raised to a very high level of excellence, but in a separative manner. So, you know, one of the reasons for the new esoteric schools is to keep away the threat of excessive concrete mind, along with emotions that are out of control and a debilitated physical body. So people like ourselves who want to become white magicians, every member of the hierarchy is a white magician and an esoteric psychologist, will have to come in and balance this incredible emphasis upon the concrete mind, which is a possibility. So, the concrete mind is very, very useful. It's very wonderful. It's very, very needed. And it has to be guided by something higher. What do they say? The mind makes a great servant and a poor master, something of that nature. Okay, well, that's my response to it, Isabel. And could I talk about the solar eclipse? Who would like to talk about the solar eclipse? Where is it? It's going to be at 26 degrees of Leo. Is that it? It's very, very intense, right? Is it 26 degrees of Leo, or do I have to get in there and figure that out? Okay, let me look at this here. Open this. I'm going to try to not be stupid about it and say something that might be correct. Okay, so we're at 15 Cancer right now, the moon is. And let's see what happens here. Let's go over here and we'll look at the lunar phases. Oh, this is in Finland, but that's okay. Oh no, I did the wrong thing. Sorry. Lunar phase, apply. And here we are, full moon and new moon. Now, new moons are connected with Shambhala, and this one is going to blot out the appearance of the moon. Let's see, solar eclipse, right. So the corona of the sun will appear. The sun represents everything spiritual. I've seen these eclipses as very dangerous in certain charts, oftentimes emphasizing the end, but it can also emphasize a phase in which egotism is a major blow against egotism can occur if it is taken properly. That's the issue. Let's see if I can find the new moon here. Well, that's how it will be here in Finland, but everyone will have a different rising sign. It's at 28 degrees. A mermaid emerges from the ocean. I'm not sure that is specifically relevant, we could try to make it relevant. Here in Finland, we have a powerful Aries rising and Pluto at the midheaven. But that won't be the case wherever we are, wherever you may be. So this is the chart. And of course, we could move this chart all around depending upon your location, then it would be different. But the major factor is a healing factor, I think. We have, we have an inconjunct between Chiron and the Sun Moon here at 28. And that is an adjusting and healing indication. The main thing is that we have to avoid the emphasis upon egotism. Now, the sun, you know, is shut out in a way. Does that mean that the spirit is shut out or that the lower ego is shut out? Let's hope that the shambolic influences, which are all about the emergence of the spirit, are what actually do take place. People are running all over for this. If this hits you on an important part of your chart, you know it's going to be significant. But what is blackened out, either the spirit or the ego? Which shall it be? There is an important choice. So, you know, hang on to your horses, and maybe we'll have to have some kind of broadcast for that eclipse. Let's see, when does it occur? We're quite close, the 20th, just 3 days here, and it's occurring at 9 o'clock p.m., 9:30 p.m. here in Finland, and the GMT time will be 18. 6:30 GMT. So just calculate that for your particular time. And although maybe not all of us use the new moon meditations, this is a time to decide how that Leo energy will work for us and whether it will be a negativity or a great potential positivity. Someone was pointing out the other day that the sun black Antikorana formula. Is it formula number five in the Dyna books? I think it's formula number five. Sun Black Antikorana. It's all about how egoism via the Antikorana and even individuality gives way to something much higher, the spiritual sun. So Sun Black Antikorana, we might call it Sun Antikorana Black, where black is the symbol of Shambhala. We might also move these around in various ways, where the blackness is the ignorance of the lower ego, followed by the Antikorana leading to the full blaze of spiritual glory, which the sun represents. Anyway, meditation upon that fifth formula, Sun Black Antikorana, and its permutations might be profitable. So that's kind of, Yvonne, what I can say about it from a spiritual sense. Okay, so Ecclesia, here we go. Am I right here? How would you tell the difference between an attack by the Black Lodge and repulse of your body by the soul for rebirth? Well, I think the latter is a much more natural thing. And, you know, first of all, he said, look, don't think too much about the Black Lodge, although it's warring militantly against the progress of disciples in general. Most of us don't warrant their attention. So Helena Rorick said a very interesting thing. She said, you trouble yourself about a few minor demons, she said, while the daggers of Satan are aimed at our backs, meaning that the real taking on of the Black Lodge is a shambolic effort. Now, some of us may occasionally warrant the attention of that, but it would usually be the underlings in the Black Lodge that would trouble us. And usually it's an attempt in the middle of your life or at some point in your life when you might be able to do something really good and are intending to do so to stop you from doing it. Whereas the soul sending the word of death, which the mind picks up and repeats. As a matter of fact, let me go here to esoteric healing, which I think, Okay, so this is esoteric healing, and it would be law 10. Okay, let me see if I can find that for you, because it's very interesting and very important. So this is Got too much going on here. Law 10. How many of those are there? Okay, here it is. Okay, hearken, O Shelah, to the call which comes from the son, that's the soul, to the mother, and then obey. The word goes forth that form has served its purpose. See, that's quite different from the Black Lodge, because they want to interrupt the possible purposeful expression of the form. Interruption is their game. The principle of mind, the fifth principle, A, B, or puts that in, then organizes itself. Now notice the sequence. When the word is heard, mind organizes itself, then repeats the word. The waiting form responds and drops away. The soul stands free. That's the natural process of death. And it's very, very different from the kind of unfortunate interference that wants to stop a disciple in his or her tracks. Now, the next part is beautiful, too, because it's more about the fourth initiation. Respond, O, it's part of the law number 10. Respond, O rising one, to the call which comes within the sphere of obligation. That's where we are now. Recognize the call emerging from the ashram. That's one type of call. Or from the council chamber, still higher type of call, where waits the Lord of Life himself, Sanakumara. The sound goes forth. Both soul and form together must renounce the principle of life and thus permit the monad to stand free. This is all about the liberation of the monad through the death at the fourth initiation of the causal body and the normal personality. The soul responds. The form then shatters the connection. Life, the life of the monad, is now liberated, owning the quality of conscious knowledge and the fruit of all experience. So it's quite a climax. These are the gifts of soul and form combined. So, you know, whereas some people might confuse one thing or another, I have to say that, you know, at the end of a life, or when the karmic factors are very strong, the soul can be felt intervening. And when you're getting ready to actually do something for the light and some kind of very dangerous interference occurs, then we can assume it is more of one of those militant attacks. But confusion can exist. Okay, that's the thought. Okay. All right. So let's see what else. Jan. Am I correct? Is it Jan now? Yeah. Okay. Hello, everyone. Just was considering the divisiveness of the most extreme separatist groups. Yeah, in the United States, it's really rampant. And they all seem to share the belief that they are working in tandem with the desire for a desire of God, you know, who obviously likes white people more than everybody else. They equate their violence in situations as something that promotes the will of God. So, you know, there's the possible link with some of them, from the personality straight through to an inverted Shambhala force, avoiding the love of the soul. How does such a belief influence the power of the faction they are promoting? It seems it would strengthen the separative quality. Does it affect their effect? There seems a division in the quality of the effects of different separative groups. Well, some are more violent than others, and some have a much deeper kind of twisted philosophy. I don't know anyone without a separative quality of experience in the human form. Yes, okay, indeed. Transmutation of hate into love, i.e., by saying the simple prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make of me an instrument of thy peace, where there is hatred, may I so love. Okay, it's true. And you know, let's just say, Jan, that different people will have their different methods of transmutation. Whatever works for you, whatever opens the heart center, whatever allows you to feel essential love and inclusiveness, no matter how you may disapprove of the behavior of another or the words or the thoughts. Let's just say that we condemn, well, that's what Christ suggested, we condemn the sin and not the sinner. So we hold our relationship to the sinner, and we've all been there. Fish sin and soma. It's in the secret doctrine, and sin is basically the reaction of 666, which is the lower three vehicles, expressing themselves more powerfully than the guiding soul. That is sin. We've all been there. We've all been through Mars. We've got to learn how to use Mars in a better way. It's a very necessary planet, but it can lead to the expression of the beast, which is the unregenerate personality. And the king of beasts, we know, has to be killed by the white horn of the unicorn in Capricorn. Okay, what else? Anything else, Brett? Yvonne? I tried to talk about the solar eclipse, but I guess experiencing it is going to be the main thing. Now, some places, I think in the U.S., I haven't been up on that, but there's going to be a very, very strong total eclipse of the sun. For others, we'll have to experience it metaphysically. Yeah, Brett, who are you saying?
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Did you have something?
No, I think that's it.
That's it. Okay, that's it. Don't want to leave anybody out. Okay, good. Well, thank you, everybody, for your thoughts and questions. And, well, you know, inevitably, look, we're talking about glamour, but it's occultism. You know, I have to say the Tibetan, in my view, wrote one big book. One big book. And naturally, when we start talking about one of those books, we end up being able to talk about any of them. You know, who's to tell what little hint coming from a different book or a different angle may shed light on the particular subject that we are experiencing. The point is, we're working with energies and forces. The occultist does, retaining the Neptunian heart mystical qualities which reveal the unity. The occultist goes forward to work with energies and forces in such a way that identification as the one can occur. We're all on our way there, step by step, applying ourselves diligently, sometimes failing, but sometimes succeeding, and just giving no leeway or let up as we move forward. You know, there's a lot of second-rate souls in this work. And as DK said, they don't work by crashing through. Rather, they work by steady pressure with no leeway and no let up of their efforts. And even if there are first-rate types, they are essentially, when they're working along these lines, they have another second ray, very powerful somewhere. All of the, in my view, just about every first ray type, soul type that was working with the Tibetan ended up having a second ray monad. So either the second ray monadically or in terms of the soul is what we can expect. No leeway, no let up. Steady pressure, steady pressure. Okay. Anything else from anybody? Okay. Right. Okay. Well, you know, okay, to you. Okay. And I'll turn myself off here so you can.
Still muted.
Later. Okay.
There you go.
Hello to everybody. My question is only that, did you see that there was a question sent for Laura Circa to you and us? It's in email. Shall I put that in text box?
Okay, well, just read it.
It's rather long. I think it would be better that you read that.
Okay. Put it in the text box.
Okay, I tried to do that.
It's big enough.
It's rather long.
Okay.
Did you get it?
Yes, we got it.
Okay, so
it's in the question.
Why can't I see that?
You're looking in the questions?
Is that what it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was not
Michael, you can turn your sound back on.
Thank you, Brett. I was probably coming through on Tuya's microphone, which is 20 feet away from me. Okay, so I would like to know, what is the karma? I would like to know here this question from me during the webinar.
No, it starts however, if you could mention.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going down a little further where the question actually begins. I would like to know, it is true that African-American slaves don't have statues to honor their sacrifice in building that country. Well, I don't know about that. I have to say I just really don't know. So maybe someone knows better. The interesting about statues, Laura, there are all these Confederate statues. Tuya, turn your...
I just wanted to say that there is a link in the end to what she is referring to.
Okay. Got to keep your... Good. Got to keep that off. Otherwise, we're going to double. Okay. So anyway, I'm trying to see this. I disagree with the destruction of statues honoring the Confederate soldiers. Well, okay. It is a subdiaphragmatic issue. It's Confederatism, and it's the moon and the sun. It's the diaphragm, super diaphragm, sub diaphragm. I think there's no question of where the United States would be today if the South subdiaphragmatic energies and forces had won that particular battle. And well, you know, slavery has to be repugnant to all, because basically every one of us has an aspect of the divine will, which it is our obligation at some point in time and space to express. When you make a person a slave, you take away their will, you take away an aspect of the divine, which is meant to work itself out in the total expression of the will to good and the will of God. So, you know, we can feel about this how we like. They fought valiantly in many respects, but the principle behind it was rebellion against the soul of man. That can be discussed, and not everybody has to agree, but at least I'm telling you my thoughts. Okay, now let's see. So were these honoring the Confederate soldiers, usually the leaders, you know? And two, you know, it's history, and if people could think aright, I don't think that they necessarily have to be torn down, but the symbolism of that is interesting. And the symbolism may arise from hate and revenge, but also from trying to put the super diaphragmatic centers above the sub diaphragmatic centers. Robert E. Lee had a terrible choice to make. He was educated in the North, but he was a Virginian and a great gentleman, and he thought so, had to defend his homeland as he thought of it. Okay, but I think that if it is true that African American people have to go abroad to find a statue honoring their contribution to the society, maybe building some statues to honor their history too, yes, might be the right and inclusive thing to do. Indeed. Maybe they wouldn't want to destruct or put in museums the statues of Confederate soldiers. And they're not alone. It's not only the African Americans that were rebelling against the presence of this Confederatism. And let's just say that it's rising again in the minds of many. So this is a counter move. The Confederatism is rising in the hate groups. That's obvious, because they really do protest because their power base is being removed. At least I give you my opinion, and you don't have to agree. Nobody has to agree, but I try to offer a thought. The statues of Confederate soldiers, if their sacrifice for that country, would also be taken into consideration. Well, you know, the Confederate soldiers were swept up in their society, and, you know, Lincoln was the great avatar in that case. He said, an avatar for all humanity, whereas von Bismarck was an avatar of the Black Lodge. They were born just 4 years apart, I think, and it was a very, very strong moment for seeing which way humanity would go. The super diaphragm defeated the sub diaphragm, at least looking at it in occult terms, and Many were good people on the side of the South and bad people on the side of the North, but the great principle has to be taken into consideration. The same goes for remembering and honoring Irish slaves. Well, that may be something I don't know so much about. Maybe in another country. And Native Americans, there are, of course, statues, beautiful ones for Native Americans. Maybe instead of destructing statues and taking them away, people should build more statues reflecting the sacrifice and the contribution of everyone, and being inclusive towards the historical truth. Well, it's a good ideal, and it just depends on the interpretation. Sometimes the destruction is there because certain energies are attempting to rise again in a hate-filled atmosphere, such as we have in the moment in the United States, at least among certain people. So it's come to a dramatic head. One, you know, obviously what you're suggesting is good. How feasible it is at the moment, you know, what can I say? I'm sending you a link below which has brought, thank you. I'm an African-American female and have many questions about the conditions for black people related to the Ages of Wisdom teaching. Lee didn't want the statues. Yeah, maybe. And he didn't want the division afterward. No, he didn't. So, you know, look, we've all been in every race. We've all, every sub-race, every race, we've all been there. And could be transplanted into any race or sub-race. It all depends on the wisdom of the soul. It's a loaded issue. It's very difficult. Let's just say that when there's more love coming through the externalization of the hierarchy and the reappearance of the Christ, some of these extremely divisive social issues will be addressed in a more compassionate and understanding manner. So thank you for your contribution. Okay, friends, I think we've got to move now into the meditation. Yeah, we do. We do have to move there. So good. All right. Thank you, everybody, for your thoughts. You know, what do you do about thoughts? They're how we see things. You can debate them. You can discuss them. You can accept them. You can reject them. The basic thing is that the Christ principle, the soul, the principle of inclusiveness, which takes into consideration not the outer form so much as the inner being. You know, we're all causal bodies here. You know, there's no racially definitive causal body. We all have the mark of our progress stamped upon our causal body and its unfoldment. If you want to see the real human being, the real man, the real woman, you look at the causal body. And that's something, of course, the world doesn't realize yet. And, well, you know, we spreading the Ageless Wisdom, we have to make that a possibility for more people. Thank you. All right. Now, let's see, Tuya, are you on there? Because I'm hearing.
I am here.
Okay, then go ahead. Did you want to say something?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then let's turn you off there so that we don't get the echo. Okay. All right, friends, here we go. It's going to be the great glamour of hatred again, which is very virulent. It's connected powerfully with Scorpio energy. And, you know, with the whole overcoming that for the sake of the, well, the ability to move into the second initiation, really. So we can see how far humanity at present is from that second initiation. All right, here we go. So we can't really name all the group members. There are some 45 of us here right now, but we'll... In the silence, we'll just, as it were, become aware of each other. So wherever we are geographically, we're forming one group of, excuse me, soul-influenced people, soul-inspired people to various degrees, a collection of soul-infusing personalities who are all souls on the higher mental plane. And we really are together in this. Our outer circumstances don't make so much difference. It's our inner soul fusion. And in the silence, our power grows. Now, we're going to use the protective formula. We know the cross used is the forehead, the chest, the left eye, the right eye. We're working with some very powerful, working against some very powerful negative forces. And so, we have to protect ourselves. It wouldn't be here unless it was necessary. So, together, as a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. So see that protective cross glowing. It's an ongoing illumination. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. So each of us is protected by the light. We essentially are. We're told the soul is light. Now, we're going to take this triple light and make it one. So, we'll think together, meditate together, focusing a dual light, the light of the etheric physical, full of vitality, and the light of the lower mind. And we'll focus both these lights within the range of the concrete mind. So use your creative imagination to do this. Raising the light of matter upward toward the place where the light of mind is found. We have a vitalized light of mind. And then we turn our attention to soul contact. And using the creative imagination, we recognize the light of the soul, soul light, from the higher mental plane. And now we're going to bring all these three together, the fusion of the two lesser lights, and now the descending soul light, imaginatively fusing with the two lesser lights of mind and matter. So on the plane of concrete mind, we have the descending soul light, the light of the analytical mind, and the light, the vital light of matter. And this is the basis of the searchlight we will generate. It's a bit like the horn of the unicorn, what we're doing here. It's a means of revelation, but also a means of destruction, a weapon of light. And with this triple light now made as one, we will say together, followed by the sacred word three times, the light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. And we know that on the Buddhic plane is that light that turns the darkness into day, and it's called the light of day. Now the formula. We're going to say the two parts of the formula, and as we do this, we're turning on our searchlight onto the astral plane, and it is doing the things that the formula suggests. So together we visualize our searchlight extending into the visualized astral plane. It's outside our own aura. It's the plane of man's illusory fabrication. And we will say the formula together. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. The world of the soul is the world of meaning, and the subtle world of glamour is part of the earth nature of the planetary and solar logos. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. So the power of the soul is behind us, and we're going to strengthen our beam with the spiritual will, which ultimately is descending from the monad and through the atmic plane and through the soul structure and into our mental structure. So we visualize the power of the spiritual will descending, strengthening our beam so that it becomes a true weapon of light in this dissipation of glamour. Feel that will descending from the inmost to the outward. And we say, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. And that goal, we know, is the dissipation of the great glamour of hatred. And so we will use these words of power, visualizing the light penetrating into the glamour and producing its weakening and its dissipation. You do this however you like to do it, according to what is most meaningful for you. So, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of hatred. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of hatred from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour of hatred. Now we have our 5 minutes of silence and of intensity of purpose, as in our own way we see the work proceeding, going forward. So let us now have that quiet time where in our own way we visualize our will-inspired beam of triple light as one, doing its work in preventing the appearance of that glamour, of preventing the quality from affecting humanity, and preventing the life, the vitality, which would hold that glamour in livingness. We prevent it from being perpetuated. We see it dying away. So here we go. And now, having seen our will-empowered beam of triple light as one, our weapon of light, weakening, dissipating, ultimately destroying the glamours, and this particular virulent glamour, which is now affecting so much of humanity, we're going to withdraw our beam from the astral plane, bring it back onto the mental plane, and turn off its extension. The beam is retracted, ready to be used again to rid the world of the miasmas, the untruths, the distortions, the exaggerations, the minimizations which glamour represents. And now, holding each other in the light of unity within the one macrocosmic whole, we will sound the Om three times, contributing to the disappearance of Maya glamour and illusion. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Tuya and I will be continuing in the 5 a.m. GMT time. Tomorrow will be the Soul of Nations meditation, based a lot on the book The Destiny of the Nations, and then on Sunday morning, the Attracting Money for Hierarchical Purposes. And then we have that, we'll have to think about that new moon. Maybe I'll have to talk it over with Tuya. Maybe we'll offer some kind of meditation on this eclipse, possibly. But if not, then make sure that you are in meditation at this time, looking for the eclipse of individualism and the birth of group consciousness in the deeper aspect of the sun.
Michael.
Yes, dear.
We could have a webinar before that, because I think that the world situation and what is happening in the world would be very beneficial to have a little discussion together, and then we would have meditation.
Well, let's see what we can.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can send out to people. We'll find a time, and if you can join us, great. And otherwise, it'll be available as a video recording. Okay, thanks everybody. All the best to you, and hope to see you at these various webinar events and broadcast events. It's a one way that we can overcome time and space and geographical separation. So Brett will help me get this ready. We'll have it ready on Makara as soon as we possibly can. And lots of love to you all from Olivia, Tuya, and myself. Many blessings, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.